Father, I thank you, Lord. As always, we come into the presence of the Lord together to fellowship with you and fellowship with one another. And we know and declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding. Cause that light, Lord, to shine in our hearts this morning to give us understanding of what the Spirit is saying to the church. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Give you, Lord, the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Both these speakers and hearers and everybody together, may we receive of the mind of the Lord today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Welcome again, everybody. There's a burning question, you know, that we need to ask of ourselves. You know, since we have been doing, this series, it's been about 2 weeks or maybe even a little longer. We've been talking about, you know, the building that God's building, what it's doing. And that led up to, you know, this transformation series. And we spent a number of days in there. And we find that we've been talking about the tabernacle, the temple, you know, all of these things. And so there's a burning question that we need to ask today, knowing that the goal and ultimate destination is for us to get into not only just the tabernacle, but the most holy place and to dwell there. So that's the, you know, that's the goal. As we've been talking about that, we've been leading up to it for the past couple of weeks. So this is the question here today. Who shall abide in thy tabernacle? That's the way David called it, but we call it thy presence, you know, or dwell in his holy hill. So let's take a scripture reading from Psalm 15. And we're going to read that whole psalm. It's not very long. Let's just read all of it. A reading from the King James. Lord, this is the question. I mean, he addressed this question to the Lord, but he also gave an answer. Now, whether the answer came from the Lord or came from him, we don't know. But here is the question. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? And who shall dwell in thy holy hill? So we see there are two questions that he asked there. And let's ask ourselves those two questions. Of course, he was asked of the Lord. And then we see some response here. We want to ask it of ourselves. You know, ask yourself, you know, who shall abide in his presence, in God's presence, and who shall dwell in his holy hill? Well, of course, you know, that's the way they used to depict the presence of the Lord in those days, hill or tabernacle or this and that. You know, in our day, you know, Jesus, you know, he debunked all that business of, you know, God is on some mountain or this and that. You know, one time he was talking to, you know, a woman that we call the story, the woman at the well. I'm sure many people are familiar with that story. And, you know, so the woman asks, this is in John chapter 4. So the woman asks Jesus a question. He said, well, I mean, it's an interesting conversation that's going on. But part of that conversation is, you know, the woman says, well, you know, you guys say that, you know, Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. She asked, she challenged Jesus about that. Yeah. You know, I see that you're a prophet, but, you know, why is it that you guys say that in this, you know, our own fathers, she said, worshiped in this mountain. She pointed to some mountain, you know, that they had there. And, but you guys say that we got to go to Jerusalem to worship. What's that all about? So Jesus answers her and says this in John chapter 4 and verse 21. Woman, he said, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. So he's debunking this business of you got to go up to a mountain, you got to go to some certain city and all of that. You know, he's throwing that right away. You know, so that goes right out of the door. Jesus said, the hour is coming, you know, when you will no longer need to do that. You know, he said, you know, you guys worship what you don't even know, you know, but we know what we worship because salvation is of the Jews, he said. Now, the hour cometh, he says it again, but now he's going to drop down. Look, this thing is no longer future. Remember, we talked yesterday about in the holy place, there's still prophecy, there's still future, there's still, oh, we're going to get there. Well, in the most holy place, we are in the now, in the present. We're right there. That's why God calls himself, I am that I am. You know, there is no past, no present, no future with him. He's eternal. You know, so Jesus said, look, the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Now, that means that the mountain and the place of worship is now spirit and truth. So Jesus took the mountain and he took the place of worship, brought it all together and said, look, don't worry about going up to some mountain or going up to some city or some other place. If you can get in the spirit, you worship in spirit and in truth, you know, that's where the Father is at, because he's looking for such to worship him. God is a spirit, he said. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So let's bear that in mind as we read this lesson, I mean, this text in Psalms 15. You know, who shall buy? So it's not when we're talking about his holy hill now. Don't think of you got to go up to some mountain. Jesus already debunked that one, you know, but we got to get into his presence and stay there. So how do we do it though? Well, let's see, you know, yeah, perhaps we'll learn something from, you know, the way that David wrote it here. Of course, you know, he wrote it by the Spirit. So let's go back to Psalm 15 and read the question again. Two questions that he started with, and let's read the following answers. You know, who shall abide in thy tabernacle, Lord, and who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Well, those are the two questions. Well, here are some answers. Number one, he that walketh uprightly, now that's walketh, and that worketh righteousness, and speaketh the truth in his heart. I'm going to read through all of these first, and then come back, and let's see if we can break it down. He that backbiteth not with his tongue. So we see backbiting. You know, this, as we read through these things, you will see, you know, what we need to do and what we need to avoid. Right? So, you know, let's read through it and then we'll come back. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contempt, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not, he that putteth not out his money to his injury, nor taketh the reward against the innocent, he that doeth these things shall never be moved. All right, well, so let's see what all these means. Of course, there are additional scriptures that we are going to look into today to talk about, you know, talk about these things. Before we, you know, break down those lessons, I want to also us to consider yet another question that we are asked here, you know, in the book of Isaiah chapter 33. Well, let's read verse 14 of Isaiah 33. You know, it says, well, the sinners in Zion are afraid. You know, fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. Well, so he's going to ask a question. You know, that's some background to this, but I don't have time to read it, but I might talk about the background for a bit. But the question is here. It says, who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Remember, you know, at the tail end of, you know, Hebrews, that's Hebrews 12 and 29, we're told that our God is a devouring or consuming fire, if you want to call it that. You know, our God is a consuming or devouring fire. You know, so, you know, Isaiah is going to ask this question here. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? I want that question to sink in. It's the same as some of the questions that David was asking, you know. And who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? Who could do it? Well, he has his own answers here too. He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, I mean, it looks like the same things that David was talking about, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, stoppeth his ears from hearing, backbiting, and all those things, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil. I mean, he's talking about the same things. He shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. I mean, my goodness, if it's surrounded by a fortress, you know, and bread shall be given him, and his waters shall be sure. Glory to God. You know, my goodness. Now, let's take that in parallel with Psalm 15. And so that's the question. How do we, you know, what's it going to take to abide in his presence and stay there? Well, let's break down some of these things that are given in the answers in both of these places. The reason that David asked these questions, and perhaps even Isaiah, is because, you know, they understand the power, you know, that, you know, you get, you know, there's something in and that when you are in that presence, it's power there. I mean, the light of the glory of God is with you. You don't need any candlestick. There's no candlestick in that most holy place. You know, God, the Lord is the light of it. You don't need any candlestick at all. You know, and there's a lot of things. We've talked about the hidden manna. We've talked about the rod of Aaron that budded, representing the power. We've talked about the tables of the covenant representing the word of God also, both the Rhema and the Logos, they are all in there. So David understood that there was power in the presence of God. And he, you know, I mean, David experienced that power many times, even through his prayer. I mean, the way that David would pray and God would answer him. I mean, we've talked about that several times on this platform. You know, like some of the things he said in Psalm 18, how when he prayed and called the Lord thundered from the heavens and the Lord, you know, blasted with his nostril. I mean, Lord uttered a voice, the coals of fire kindled, you know, before him and all these things. He rode upon a cherub and did fly. I mean, how God responded to his prayer. So this man understands what it takes, you know, to get in his presence and what you get from it. Now, dwelling in his presence also, we know, yesterday we talked about life in the spirit, more than just encounter. It's not just, okay, I had an experience with God today at church or whatever. We're talking about a constant, you know, awareness of God's presence, you know, that will direct us on this journey of walking with God, you know, and, you know, how do we stay with this awareness? And how do we experience this continually, not just, you know, encounter once in a while? Well, here are some answers. He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. You know, that's the first thing he talks about. Let's see what Isaiah says. I'm going to have to flip back and forth between the scriptures. Isaiah says pretty much the same thing. He said, well, in order for you to dwell in the devouring fire and dwell with everlasting burnings, that means you are constantly ablaze with the fire of God in your heart. You know, we got to walk righteously and speak uprightly and despise gain, you know, and robbery and, you know, trying to cheat people out of what, you know, stuff like putting things out to usury and all these things. The same thing he's talking about, shaking our hands with holding our bribes, stopping our ears from hearing our blood, you know, shutting your eyes from seeing evil. You know, hallelujah, I've made a covenant with my eyes. Why should I look upon a maid, you know? Why should I set any wicked thing before me? You know, so all these things are there. We're going to talk about them one by one. There are many blessings. You will dwell on high, he says. You know, well, the Lord will make you to ride upon your high places. You know, your place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. You know, that you have a fortress around you. David knew about that. He called the Lord my fortress, my rock, my hiding place, my shield, my buckler all the time. And he understood it. Bread shall be given to you as well. You have supply, plenty. Your water shall be sure. Nothing will be cut off, you know, from your supply. Praise the Lord. All right. So these are the things that we want to look into today. You know, some of them are simple enough that are so simple that we miss them. You know, in the pursuit of thunders and all some other things, we may miss the simple things. You know, Jesus, most of the time, throughout all of the days of his ministry, we saw, you know, very few times that he spoke in any shrouded or difficult, even when he shrouded things in parables, he still used simple words, sower, sow seed, this and that, a house, you know, rain, rock, sand, you know, corn of wheat, you know, bread, stone, serpent, scorpion, egg. You know what I mean? He used simple words to convey very, very serious spiritual matters. But it was all simple words. And because of the simplicity, most of the time, we miss it. Now, while we are striving to have the glory of God, the dynamic haze of power, and we want to be, you know, ablaze for God, well, you must not forget the little things, because it's the little foxes that will spoil the vine. You know, sometimes when God says, look, love your neighbor, forgive, we just throw those things aside, but we are, you know, reaching for greater things. You can't do it. It's not going to work. The things that I'm talking about here, the simple things, walking righteously, doing that which is right. Let's talk about that. What does it mean to walk righteously? Well, it means you do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord. Not right in your eyes or right in the eyes of society or anybody else. But true righteousness is what is right in the eyes of the Lord. And we take it a step further. We've talked about this at least a couple of times on this platform. And we picked it from 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. That says, look, this is how we flourish in our relationship with God. We're asking him, he's doing things for us because of two things. He said in 1 John 3:22. He said, one, we keep his commandments. And two, we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And I called it the keeping the commandments. You've heard me say that's the active obedience. What God says, we do. End of story. Now, the second part, which is doing those things that are pleasing in his sight. Well, that's passive obedience. You know, even if he has not point blank commanded it or not commanded it, we know what is pleasing in his sight, and we do accordingly. Well, that's righteousness. That's walking righteously. You know, I mean, things that are, you know, this thing is displeasing to God, and then you stay away from it. On the other hand, you know, these things are pleasing to him, then you do it. Whether he gives you a verbal command or not, you can discern those things. Now, the things that he has point blank commanded, you know, you have no choice. You know, Jesus has point blank commanded, love your even enemies. Forgive them that trespass against you. He has point blank commanded it. So you have no choice. Now, if you don't do that, and then you expect these other things, well, Jesus said, we read it the other day, you know, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I commanded you. You know, I mean, Jesus commands and we do. End of story. You can't argue with the Lord and, you know, try to make him do things your way. You know, this is his world. It's like, you know, a game. On the field is his. The ball is his. The rules are his. The players are his. The umpire is his. Everything is his. You want to be a part of it? You come in there, you learn the rules. You know, rules of engagement. You learn it. How do we walk in this kingdom? You learn the rules. You can't come in and make your own rules. You know, so he is the governor. The Holy Spirit is. And now he's with us and he tells us, and you do. That's it. If we can't figure that out, then we're not ready to abide, you know, because disobedience will quickly get you out of there. You know, Adam and Eve were driven out because of disobedience. You know, so you can see how great and dangerous disobedience might be. And a little leaven leavened the whole lump. Jesus told a parable of the leaven. You know, among the parables he told in Matthew chapter 13, one of them, just a very short verse, is about the leaven. You know, he said, well, the kingdom of heaven is like, you know, a woman that took 3 measures of meal and 1 measure of leaven, mixed it all up together. You know, so, you know, and I will talk about that in a bit. You can read that in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 33. Another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. You know, leaven is never a good thing. Jesus referred it to it as the leaven of the Pharisees. And so it's never a good thing. It's any depiction in the Bible of leaven is always a bad thing. So what Jesus is talking about here is a bad thing that is mixed up with the good. You know, it's called the knowledge of good and evil. It's not all evil. It's a little bit of, you know, might be a lot of good even, but a little evil in there. You know, you keep the whole law, you break it in one, you are guilty of all. We read that in the book of James when we studied James. You know, so you can't say, well, that doesn't matter. A lot of people do say that doesn't matter. Once you say that doesn't matter in your heart concerning anything that God has commanded, you're out of there. You can't dwell in that place because you are not keeping his commandments. You know, so we've got to keep his commandments. And this is to all of us. I'm not speaking at anybody. The Holy Spirit is speaking to us. So we got to be real careful about that. You know, got to be real careful. You can't mix strange fire, you know. Nadab and Abihu, you know, I don't have time to go into all their stories, but, you know, they took strange fire, things which God has not commanded. They brought it in and tried to do those things, you know, and that's not going to work. There are many things that God has said, look, we got to keep the word of God pure. You cannot take a little bit. I mean, you can't take some of the word of God, put a little bit of it and so forth. You know, those things are dangerous. They are dangerous when we put just a mixture. And that's the devil is a master at that. You know, he doesn't serve poison and label it poison. You know, what he does is serve three measures of meal and put a little leaven inside of it. And the leaven itself is actually camouflaged. At first, you don't actually know that that leaven is evil because it camouflages it. Well, the greatest leaven starts with disobedience, because that's where we saw the first sin came from there. But the devil said, well, I mean, God doesn't really mean that. I mean, hey, God knows that you will be wise. That's why he said that. So, okay, put a little leaven in there, mix it up a little bit. You will be wise, you know, and so forth. God didn't mean that. I mean, you know, think about it. He could not really meant that, you know. So, all right. When you do that, you know, then we find out that we have lost our footing. We've lost our footing. Now, what does that mean? Well, the footing that puts you in the presence of God and your standing, your right standing with God, it's not there. It's like mixing strange fire before the Lord. You can read that story in Leviticus chapter 10, but I don't have the time to read that today. Nadab and Abihu, they did what should not be done. I put a little thing there that does not belong. Well, it's kind of like what the Lord said in Leviticus chapter 19. He told them in verse 19, keep my statutes. You know, don't mingle things together. Don't sow thy field with mingled seed. Take a little bit of good seed. You put a little bad thing in there. You come out with a mongrel. You know, it's not pure. God wants pure seed. You know, so that's the first thing that we got to learn in some of these answers that David is putting here. Walking before the Lord uprightly and working righteously and speaking the truth in our hearts. If we're going to dwell in God's presence, we got to learn to do these things. You know, here are some lessons, even in the epistles, some of Paul's epistles, he talks about walking worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Colossians chapter 1 verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. But you must walk uprightly. You must walk worthy of the Lord in all things and so forth. So, you know, our walk, remember, this room is titled, or this house, Walking with God. Well, you know, how do you walk worthy of God? He talks about the same thing in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 to 12. He said, look, as you know, we have exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, and that ye would walk worthy of God, even as he hath called you into his kingdom and glory. And I see that no one is helping us oppose the scriptures today. That these scriptures are going to be very important. If we don't post them, we're going to lose them. So we need somebody to step up and help us post these scriptures. The walking with God, he said, walk worthy of God as he has called you into his kingdom and his glory. Well, you know, that's so important. He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. You know, what does it mean, you know, to speak the truth in our heart? Jesus said, well, the way to worship God is in spirit and in truth. You know, there can't be any deception there. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, he talked about that in the book of John, chapter 8, when he was talking to the Jews. Yes, you know, it's got to be all truth. It can't be a little bit of truth and a little bit of deception. It's going to be all mixed up. Jesus said, when the spirit of truth is come, he shall guide you to all truth. All truth, not just a little truth. you know, not just a little of this and a little of that. No, it got to be all pure. You can't do mingled seed. You can't sow, you know, multiple seeds, the good, the bad, in the same place. It's not going to work. We saw a parable in that same Matthew 13 called the parable of the tares and the wheat. You know, the good man sowed good seed. The evil one came and sowed tares. And it got all mixed up together. And the Lord recognized it. He said, well, let them both grow together. So till this day, we have mixed up seed in the kingdom. And even in the church, you go to the church, I mean, you'll be surprised what you find, even in every local congregation. It's all mixed up. You know, but God is calling for purity. Hallelujah. We must walk in this righteousness of God. You know, many scriptures talk about us in obedience, you know, doing the things that God has ordained that we should do and walk in them. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. So good works. Now, we're not saved by our good works, but, you know, once you have received salvation of the Lord, then we must be careful to maintain good works. You know, that's what Paul said. He said, look, tell ours, you know, that they be careful to maintain good works. Good works have reward. You know, God rewards good works. Even Christ, you know, is going to reward his good works. He says that when he comes back, he will reward our good works. You know, that's reward for the good works. That's not salvation, already saved. But you, once you are saved, you got to do these good works. And some people don't think that that's important, but that's how you abide in his presence. Titus chapter 3 and verse 8, he said, teach those who are ours that they be careful to maintain good works. And he said, this is a faithful saying, you know, and these things you should constantly affirm, that those who have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. It's a good and faithful saying. Good works will be rewarded. You know, all our works, we're told, will be tested, whether they are of stubble, wood and hay, or they are gold, silver, and precious stones. You can read that in, and we read this actually when we're talking about the building, you know, what is someone going to build on it? Read it in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. For every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work to see what sort it is. If any man's work abide that he have built on, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, but there will be no reward for him. And while everybody else is getting reward, he'll be ashamed because there's no reward. And, you know, this concept about reward for good works is taught throughout the scriptures, even all to the end. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. You know, so, and it drops here in verse 14 to say, blessed are they that do his commandments. Jesus said, you do my commandments, you are my friends. Well, this one says, you are even blessed. You will have right to the tree of life, which Adam lost because he didn't do the commandments. But if you do his commandments, you will have right to the tree of life, and you will have right to even enter into the gates of the city. But he said, outside are dogs. Well, a dog is something that returns to its vomit. That's right. They will be outdoors. They won't be there. They're thrown out with sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Now, when the devil tells a lie, John 8:44, Jesus said, you know, he tells it of his own. And he's the father of lies. He's a liar and the father of it. But what is a lie then? A lie is anything that is contrary to the truth. That's a lie. And the devil, he likes to do those things. You know, he said, look, you know, he's a liar, he's a murderer, there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks it of himself, or he's a liar and the father of it. John 8:44. Now, so lying is a thing that is the works of the devil. And these things will keep us out. Because outside the city, liars and murderers, sorcerers, whoremongers, and so on, along with those that return to their vomit, which are dogs. You know, the things that you said, you know, I will not do that, but then you went back and did it anyway. You know, that's the spirit of the dog, and God has no pleasure in that. So these things that he's talking about are so important. Now, it is important for us to let our light shine before men, that they see your good works. Some people think that, works is works and it has nothing. Jesus talked about works all the time. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. For believers, you must maintain good works. We read that already in Titus. But Jesus said it himself too. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, will works get you there? No, but works will help you to stay there. You already made it in there, but how do you abide? How do you stay? It's not how you get there, but how do you stay there? You know, how do you stay there? Let's say we've been joined and we now made it there. How are we going to stay there? Well, these are the things of how you say that. Simple things, but, you know, they carry the weight of eternity. You know, whatsoever you do, therefore, whether you eat or drink, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, anything you do, you must do it to the glory of God. These are the things that will help us to stay there. You know, now, he talks about not taking up a reproach against his neighbor. Well, a couple of months ago, we dealt on this subject of backbiting and so forth. And, you know, and sowing discord. And, you know, carrying tales that you don't even know. I mean, someone comes to tell you something that is, you know, unwholesome, you know, about somebody else. Why would you even give attention to that? Or, God forbid, that you are even the one that's spreading that information. whether you are the one that's spreading it or you are the one that is giving audience to it, or partaking in the evil. You know, even the law calls someone an accomplice. You may not be the one that did it, but you might be an accomplice if you aided and abetted the crime. So aiding and abetting gossip and backbiting is just as bad as it doing it yourself. So you need to get away from it. You know, don't take up a reproach. Don't even listen to it. You know, it's, you know, those things are none of your concern. To their master, they fall or stand. You know, you can pray for them if you want to, but, you know, it's not our concern to relish in the fall of someone else. Or you hear any bad thing. If you have nothing good to say about somebody, don't say anything. And be quiet. You know, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but that which is useful to the, good to the use of edifying. You know, so you know, that's the, those are the things that we must say with our mouths. Bless and curse not, and let only good things come out of your mouth. You know, think no evil, speak no evil of any man. Scripture says we covered all these things in the past, but these are the ways that we're going to stay in his presence. That tongue. We cover the electric tongue, the deadly tongue, you know, that has vile poison. We covered it when we did the book of James. If you can't bridle your tongue, well, you know, you may not be able to stay in his presence. So this is very important. There are little things, there are the little foxes that spoil the vine, but it's there nonetheless. These are the things that we must do. Can't backbite with your tongue. Can't do evil to your neighbor. Can't take up a reproach against them. You refuse to participate in gossip. That's right. You know, gossip is tearing apart the body of Christ in many places. Gossip, backbiting, you know, tail bearing, and all these things that have no business being in the house of God, you know. Is the information you are receiving true? I mean, does it edify? That's the thing. You know, love seeks to edify. You know, love does not rejoice in evil. You know, so is it even needful? We talked about discretion. You know, is the thing that you're talking about, is it kind? Does it edify? Does it bless? Does it speak well? Because Bible says, speak evil of no man. And so if the answers, you know, is the thing is not kind, is not, doesn't speak well, and it's not needful, and it's not necessary true, and if you can't verify that it's true, I have no part with it. don't even entertain it, you know. And let's not even give a talebearer, you know, a gossiper and things like that. Let's not even give them audience. Because when you give them audience, they'll be encouraged to do more of those evil things. But, you know, when you do not listen to it and you do not partake of it, you know, so that's when they will not have room to grow. The scripture says, you know, the north wind, you know, drives away many, you know, rain and so forth. You know, so does an angry countenance, a backbiting tongue. Proverbs 25 and verse 23. You know, so how do you stop backbiting? Well, you frown on it when it comes to you. You know, a frown, an angry countenance will stop a backbiting tongue, we're told. That's right. You know, so read that verse again and let's consider it. You know, don't try to please the person that's telling you something contrary about somebody else. Look on them angrily. That will stop them dead in their tracks. They'll know not to come to you the next time. They'll go down the road and find some other willing, you know, listener. But if everybody shut them down, put them out of business quickly. So, you know, that's not taking, that is what it means. Don't take a reproach against your neighbor. You know, don't let anybody tell you anything contrary about somebody else. You know, your role is to pray for your neighbor, pray for your brothers and sisters, look for their well-being, not their downfall. Praise the Lord. So these simple things he talked about, you know, we must let the Lord help us with our speech. You know, sometimes he said, look, study to be silent, you know, and be quiet, you know, be quick to hear or slow to speak. But again, but don't be quick to hear gossip. No, put an angry countenance out against that and put them out of that commission. Praise the Lord. And, you know, don't enjoy evil or partner with it, you know, and or find nothing wrong with it. You know, I wonder sometimes, you know, I've seen a great evils. Solomon said sometimes, well, I've seen the great vanity in some of the, you know, these later generations where people can't find anything wrong with anything that anybody does. Everything goes. It's all good. They don't want to judge anybody. Well, you may not judge anybody, but judge the actions, you know, because the spiritual man judges all things. Things, you know, we judge. That's right. Yet himself is judged of no man. Now, you know, if we can't find anything wrong in anything, that's a problem. The people that are going to escape, you know, some of the judgment that's coming according to the book of Ezekiel chapter 9, they are the ones that are sighing for the abominations that are done in the land. They are grieved by it. If you're not grieved by anything wrong, you know, I mean, my goodness, we need to check ourselves, you know. So, you know, let's take note of these things. You know, these are the things that he says. You know, don't twist the truth in order to get ahead. You know, don't try to get ahead at the expense of somebody else. That's not going to work. You know, there's a lot of people that are making money off the backs of other people. Well, those people are not going to dwell in his presence. You know, that's putting your money to usury. I mean, you twist, you know, you take a reward, take bribery and take the oppression, like Isaiah calls it out. You know, that's not going to work. You know, the Lord doesn't want us to do that. And if we do that, we may not dwell in his presence. You know, so. And oppressing the poor, you know, to increase riches. You know, if you oppress the poor, you know, the Bible says that, you know, you're despising and showing contempt to the his maker. Proverbs 14 and verse 31. You know, he that oppresseth the poor shows contempt to his maker. You know, but if you are kind, well, then you're honoring them. You know, so robbing the poor to increase riches, that, you know, or just being deceitful, you know, these things will put us very quickly out of his presence. Now, you notice that these are, you know, simple, natural things. Practical things. These are not even great, big, thunderous mysteries. They're just simple things, you know, but these are the things that can prevent us from staying in his presence. They're called the little foxes that spoil the vine. They're little, they're not big, you know, it's not murder, it's not adultery, it's not fornication, it's not the big things, you know, it's not blasphemy against the word of God, but it's the little things, you know, that's the one that the devil will feed to believers. It's the little things, you know, he knows he can't get you with those big things, but those ones are staring you in the eye, so he knows he won't get you with that, but come with these little things. You know, and unforgiveness plays a big role in that as well. You know, now, Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 16. He that oppresseth the poor to increase his riches. You know, you oppress the poor in order to increase your riches. And then, you know, you give to the rich already because you want favor from them. Well, you shall surely come to want. Yeah, these things will not stand in front of the Lord. You know, so there are many of these simple things, but they carry a lot of weight in order for us to be able to stay there. Your methods and your, you know, motives must be pure. You know, that's another thing that he talks about, you know, in verse 5 of Psalm 15. You know, I'm going through this and just dissecting all the things he talks about there. Your motives must be pure, he said. You know, you don't have evil in your heart. You know, you're doing the right thing. You know, even if you say something, you stay with it. You know, you make a promise, even to your hurt, you better stay with it. They say, he that sweareth, well, we're not supposed to swear, but they used to swear a lot in those olden days. Well, Jesus, you know, threw that out of the door. Swear not at all, neither by the temple or this or that or anything, or God or his throne or so on. Just let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. However, you know, making a promise and not keeping it, you know, I mean, would you, I mean, just consider if God doesn't keep his promise. You know, we've talked about God's word being his bond and his name being his reputation. We talked about that multiple times. I mean, what if God did not keep his word? God says, if you confess your sins, you know, he's faithful and just to forgive you. And, but you confess your sins and God doesn't forgive you. You know, how would that be? You know, where would any of us be if God didn't keep his word? You know, so let's think about that. We need to be a chip of the old block. Got to be like our father. Jesus said, be ye therefore also perfect. Matthew 5 and 48, like your heavenly father, just be like him. Well, if you don't know how to keep your word, then, you know, you really can't stand in his presence. Now, who among us will abide in his hill, dwell in his presence, dwell with everlasting burnings and so forth? Everlasting burnings, what's that all about? Remember when we started this platform, those of you who were there and those of you who have heard me talk about it. Here's what the Lord told us in Leviticus chapter 6. From the beginning, this was the commission he gave us when we started this platform 2.5 years ago. He said, we got to do things just like this. So let me read it to you from Leviticus chapter 6 and verse 12. And a fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. Well, that's everlasting burnings. It shall not be put out. Must always be burning. The priest, well, if you have a teaching priest, he need to come on there and put wood on that altar every morning. That's the instruction that he gave for this room. Every morning. That's why we do it every morning. And he said, you got to lay the burnt offering in order. You got to come on in there. Every day, the fire shall be ever burning. That's called everlasting burnings. It shall never go out. Well, the things that can make it go out are those things we're talking about today. Those negative things, the unbelief, you know, the backbiting, the gossip, the unforgiveness. You know, these are the little foxes. And, you know, scripture says, well, the axe is laid to the root of all these trees. I'm going to cut them down. Every plant that my father has not planted must be rooted out. Matthew 15 and 13. God has to uproot these things. And we ourselves must uproot these things because they're not, you know, they're going to prevent us from being able to stay there. Anything that my heavenly father has not planted, Matthew 15 and 13, must be uprooted. Gotta get rid of it. So all these things, you know, might be the things that are keeping us out of his presence. So how do we stay there? Well, these are the things that we are reading today. Don't do these negative things that we're talking about, but do the positive things. You know, how do you conduct yourself? You know, well, you need to be more involved and more engaged with, you know, the presence of God. Practice his presence. you know that you are supposed to be in his image. The Lord is looking at us. He said, we are epistles read of all men. The Lord is looking. The angels are looking. The world is also looking. You know, so these are the things, you know, you have to, in order for us to be able to persist and to dwell in his presence and to be there and not be removed, well, we got to have, you know, a sense of his awareness. I mean, an awareness of his presence. We got to do and walk in his ways, do his will, and stay away from these negative things. There's many more things. Yeah, but I want to focus on mingling seed, you know. And the devil is a master at it. You know, he knows you know the word of God, and he knows it too. So the way for him to get to steal his words from you, remember, the thief cometh to steal, to kill, and destroy. The way the devil will steal his God's words from you is just mix it up a little bit. He's not going to tell you as a believer to throw away the word of God completely, because he knows you'll never do that. He will just mix it up, dilute it, water it down a little bit, you know, and tell you, well, that part doesn't matter, you know. So that's the way. That's the strategy. And, you know, well, just weaken it a little bit, put a little leaven in there, mix it up a little bit, mingle it with mingled seed, you know, and then water it down a little bit. The devil will even take this Bible and pick some words out of it that have, you know, more important meaning, substitute them, change them in different versions. By the end of the day, you have these 100 versions. You know, some of these versions look nothing like the word of God anymore. And, you know, just mix it up a little bit. So be careful, you know. But to, you know, take heed how you hear and be careful how you hear. You know, for what you hear, you know, is a law. You know, can be made a law bearing. The devil can steal his God's words from us by mixing up all these versions and selling these things to us. And they're nothing close to what God intended, because it's also mixed up. And then there is the human. See, there's always the human factor too. When people think that they know more than God, right? There's a lot of people in the pulpits today, unfortunately, that fall in that category, you know, and they have their own agenda. Well, Jesus calls them the blind that are leading the blind. Well, the two of them are going to fall into the ditch. What do you do in such a case? Well, don't be blind. That's how you're not going to fall into the ditch. If your leader is blind, you don't have to be blind. If you are blind along with the blind leader, then you will both end up in the ditch. But if the leader chooses to be blind, then you choose to have your eyes wide open. Because we shall all stand before the Christ and give account of ourselves individually. Can't say my leader made me do it. Well, that's what someone said at the beginning. Well, the devil made me do it. Well, Eve made me do it. The woman you gave to me made me do it. Yeah, no. You're going to be responsible for yourself. You know, you have the word of God. Read it for yourself. To the law and to the testimony. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. The way that we are going to stand in his presence, you know, we're going to have to be pure word of God. It's called the pure word bride at the end. You can't have any mixture. You know, always go back to the law and the testimony, as it says in Isaiah 8:20. That's your litmus test, if you want to call it that. You know, if it is not according to this word, then there is no light in it. So get away from it, because it's darkness. Yeah, you don't want any darkness. We've already talked about that the last couple of days. We want no part of darkness, and God will have no part of it. And anything that's not according to the word of God is darkness. So, if we hear these things, then harden not your hearts. Because some people heard his word, but they hardened their hearts in the Old Testament, and it did not end up with them well. So when we hear these things, let's tend our hearts before the Lord. And let's read it again. How do you abide in his tabernacle is the question. So we asked the question at the beginning. Let me ask it out again here towards the end. Who shall abide? That's the question. Who shall abide? Because we've been talking about abiding in his presence. Well, who shall abide? That's the question. How do you abide? When you get there, I mean, assuming we get there, well, how do you stay there? Well, you know, this is it. You know, and you get rid of all the little foxes. The things that we think don't matter, well, those are the things that are going to puncture that balloon. It's like we're inside this force field now. You know, his munitions of defense shall be rocks. You've got this force field around you when you are in his presence. You know, but a little thing, you know, can puncture that thing if you're not very careful, right? You know, if you're not very careful, it can be punctured very easily. And what does the scripture say about that? Well, he that breaketh a hedge, a serpent will come in and bite. There's a hedge around you, right? You can read that in Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 8. There's a hedge. There's a glory around you. Well, the devil told it to God also concerning Job. He said, look, you've built this hedge around it. Why is he not going to serve you? There is this hedge. Your munitions of defense shall be rocks. It's around. It's like a force field. It's around you. The angel of the Lord encamps around them that fear the Lord. Well, but you got to fear the Lord, you know, to guarantee that the angel of the Lord will be there. The angel of the Lord is not going to be a camp around anybody that's not walking in the fear of the Lord and not walking in his ways and just saying the word of the Lord doesn't matter. Well, this is the man to whom are we? Look, saith the Lord, he that trembles at my word, contrite spirit and trembles at my word. The moment you know, despise the word of God, well, God has no respect to that relationship. And the angel of the Lord cannot be guaranteed to be there, you know, because we're not fearing the word of the Lord. So, you know, these things are important, even though they look small, but they are important. Isaiah chapter 66, you know, let's read verses 1 and 2. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build unto me? Remember, making preparation, I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God. I mean, God, we're preparing God. You know, we want to be in him. We want him to be in us. Well, make preparation. Jesus said, well, if you open to me, I'll come in and sup with you. You know, if you do my commandments, then I will come in and abide with you. My father and I will come and make our abode with him. Well, that's the house that we should build for him. You know, where is the place of my rest? You know, the dwelling place. Where is God? Where does God want to dwell? We want to dwell in God. He wants to dwell in us. You know, that's when those two things meet. Then and there is thunder, you might say. You know, when those two things meet. You know, God wants to dwell in you. You want to dwell in God. You know, you pray, make him an habitation. You find what pleases him. You are in him. He's in you. Boom. There's an ignition and a light that is birthed out of that relation. It's a collision. When that thing happens, you know, that union, a fusion is a better word rather than collision. When that fusion happens, my goodness. And the Lord describes it this way. He said, look, all these things are mine, you know, but this is the man to whom I will look. This is the one I will have respect. This is the one I will come after. You know, he that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. You know, that the word of God is so powerful. You know, if you have no respect to the word of God, he'll have no respect for you. And he can't come in there and share that presence with you. So let's have respect to the word of God. You know, now here's what it says. In 66 of Isaiah, the very same chapter we're talking about. In verse 5, it says, hear ye the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified. You know, when you're staying with the word of God, people will hate you. I mean, when you stay with the true word of God, you know, yeah, you know, I mean, when all the wicked people in the world love you, Jesus said, be careful. Say, well, man, all men shall speak well of you. Say, be careful, because souls they speak well of the false prophets. So be careful then. But they will hate you when you stand with the truth. They won't love you. But the real seed will love you too, you know. But, you know, the people of the world, they will hate you. And Jesus said, look, if they did these things in a green tree, they'll do the same in a dry tree. You know, they hated me, they will hate you too. No servant is greater than his master. Well, when they throw you out, they said, let the Lord be glorified. But he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. Hallelujah. When the bride is pushed out of the church systems, then look up, for that's redemption is right there close. And many of that will happen. You know, if you stand for the truth, they'll throw you out. They won't have any part of it. You know, you tell it the way it is. You know, and Jesus told it the way it is. And that's why they wanted to crucify him. Tell him, well, I'm from above, you are from beneath. I am from God, you are from the devil, your father. And they say, we'll kill you for that. Well, you know, so, ladies and gentlemen, there's a summary of what we are saying today. In order for us to be able to dwell and abide in his tabernacle and dwell with everlasting burnings, we got to do all these things and stay away from those negative things. Moreover, we got to bring wood and crank it up every morning. You know, so because God knows that there is a tendency for the fire to go out. You know, you may start out, you'll be on fire. We've heard people that say, this message has fired me up. Well, you come in here, you get fired up and so forth. But how do you stay in that fire? How do you dwell in that everlasting burning state that you are in? Well, you got to keep putting wood on it every morning. You can't go too long. You know, daily contact is what will help you to avoid all these snares that the devil will set before you. If you don't, you know, you go too long, you know, I mean, can you imagine someone in the natural who doesn't eat for very long? Well, they start to, you know, emaciate and, you know, they look thin and haggard and so on. Well, you know, many of us are like that when we don't feed on his presence. We may be spiritual carcasses and don't even know that we are dead already, you know. But when we stay in his presence, we feed on his word, and we be careful to not mix, you know, anything negative with our word. Stay with the true word. And if you don't know, search the scriptures. In fact, Jesus invited the people to search the scriptures. John 5:39. Search the scriptures, he said, because they are testify of me. And you think that, you know, these scriptures will give you eternal life. Well, so search them. If you hear anything, search the scriptures to see whether these things be so, you know. Praise God, you know. So you must search the scriptures. You know, when you hear the scriptures and you don't, when you hear something and you don't search the scriptures, how will you know whether they are so? In the book of Acts chapter 17, verse 11, we're told that, you know, the people in Berea, they were better than the people in Thessalonica. The people in Thessalonica, they wouldn't have any part of the hearing. They just dismissed it. You know, well, that's not necessarily a good thing. But the people in Berea, they received the word of God and searched the scriptures daily, Acts 17 and verse 11, to see whether those things were so. So the things that you're hearing on this platform every day, go back and search the scriptures to see whether those things are so. And if there's anything that's not so, well, the Bible says, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good and abhor that which is evil. And, you know, prove all things. The way you prove it is search the scriptures. Stay with the word of God. Don't mingle anything in there. You know, get rid of all the things that bring, cause the Holy Spirit to be grieved. The Holy Spirit can be grieved if we are in disobedience, and if we are not walking in the light, the Holy Spirit is grieved. And so the way to stay there is some of these things that can seep out our anointing is what God has been telling us today. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 30 says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. And so, in closing, look at all these things that God is telling us. There's many more. He said, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. You know, unforgiveness will grieve the Holy Spirit. You know, bitterness in our hearts, backbiting and so forth will grieve the Holy Spirit. You know, the things that God has commanded you. Husband, love your wives. If you don't do it, it will grieve the Holy Spirit. Wives, reverence your husband. If you don't do it, it will grieve your Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit that's in you. Parents, do not be harsh and mean and provoke your children unto, you know, unto rebellion. If you are doing that, you grieve the Holy Spirit. Children, obey your parents. Honor them. And so forth. If you're not doing it, you grieve the Holy Spirit. On and on and on and on. Every word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and 3. But by every word of God. And, you know, if there's some part of the word of God that we throw out, then it will weaken our ability to stand in his presence and to stay in the devouring fire. As fire on the mountain, ladies and gentlemen, keep it burning, burning, burning. Fire, fire, fire on the altar. Keep it burning, keep it burning. Keep it burning. Thank you, Jesus. You know, it's a song we used to sing. Say, give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning, burning, burning. Give me oil in my lamp and so on. I pray, give me oil in the lamp to the break of day and all that. We used to sing back in the day when I was a young man. The way to keep that burning is what we've talked about today. There was a story that Jesus told about some people that were on a journey. They were called 10 virgins. Half of them were wise because they knew how they were wise. We call them wise because we look at them and we say, wow, they took extra oil. Well, the others were foolish. They did not take extra oil. Well, but I say to you that it was because they were foolish that made them not to take extra oil. And it was because these people were wise that made them to take extra oil. So you got to have that extra oil. Don't let your oil run dry. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord, for these lessons that we've shared over these last few weeks. The Holy Spirit has shared with us. And even today, we give you, Lord, the praise and the glory. We pray, Lord, as you have shown us the way into the holiest, that we will be able to not only get in there, Bible says, strive to enter in. Well, not only have we got in now, but we must stay there. And Lord, you've shown us the way to stay there. Who shall abide, you know, in his tabernacle, and who shall dwell in his holy hill? Who shall dwell, you know, with the everlasting burnings and with the consuming fire? But he that does all these things that you have shown us here today and doesn't do all the negative things that displease the Lord. So Father, give us understanding concerning these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And give us the grace to be able to stay in your presence. Be still and know that I am God. We can't know until we're still. I pray, Lord, that you help us be able to stay in your presence and hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. Practice your presence everywhere we go, knowing that you are with us there, talking and walking. Walking and talking with the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Bless everyone that's in the room here, everyone that's listening to these series. I will pray, Lord, a blessing for them, either listening live or through the replays. A blessing of understanding upon everyone in Jesus' name. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.